So we are speaking today about the ninth paragraph of the Genjo Koan. First to say that the various translators use various words, and that's good, of course. They all point to the same, and yet they give somehow or other a slightly different feel. And I may swap about. Sometimes you get a very an impression as if we are speaking about high education, you know, about difficult things. And there are others who translate as if it is very simple. And strangely enough, that can go together. And that's why from time to time, I'll quote a different translation. So, first we have Tanahashi. When Dharma does not, oh, there's Naomi. When Dharma does not fill your whole body and mind, you think it is already sufficient. There's nothing much more to do. But when the Dharma does fill your body and mind, you then understand that something is missing. So when the truth does not fill our body and mind, we think we may have enough of it. And when it does fill our body and mind, we realize that something may be missing, lacking. That sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But that is not quite as contradictory as it sounds. Because we really would like to understand a bit of Dharma. And when we then do understand a bit, oh yes, we're very pleased. And that's what we focus on. And once we really are seeing the full moon in ourselves, we realize, well, this is, there may be something missing or lacking, but I think what it points at is that we realize that maybe this moment or but there is more, always more to see more, to discover in ourselves, even if things reveal themselves in that moonlight. And here, Dogen uses again comparison. For example, when you sail out in a boat to the middle of the ocean, where no land is in sight, and view the four directions, the ocean looks circular and not any other way. But the ocean is neither round nor square. If you just imagine being in this boat in the middle of the ocean. And you look around, looking for land, looking for a shore. Well, yes, what can you see? You can see as far as you can see, and it seems to be a circle. But the ocean is neither round nor square. Its features are infinite in variety. So we have been looking around us and seeing a circle. But have we actually looked under our feet? Have we looked inside the ocean? So it is a bit where does the eye rest? What we see depends on that. And so he says, its features are infinite in variety. It is like a palace. It can be a palace for the fish, or for the dragons. And it is like a jewel. It can be a jewel, especially when you look from on high. So it only looks circular as far as you can see at that time. And this is the case with everything. So all things are like this. So if we look at something, our eyes rest on what they, on something, and they see what they can see. They see also what you are focused at. But generally, there is so much more. And to realize the so much more in daily life, that's called faith. So when we are depressed or times are not easy, or we're having a struggle in a relationship, our eyes, our attention goes out to there and rests on that. But there is so much more to it. There is so much more to a depressed person, to a conflictuous situation, and to stop and wait and see, not being carried away with the misery and unhappiness or pain, but just stop, wait and see, and realize there is so much more to this that I cannot see. And that is the life of faith. And that then helps us to not have a fight with whatever is difficult. It helps us to be accepting. Though there are many features in the dusty world and the world beyond conditions, you see and understand only what your eye of practice can reach. So both this conditioned world in which we get a bit bewildered by our views and emotions, you only understand what your eye of practice can see, and also the world beyond conditions. Now we speak here again about the bright moon. Also that you can see and understand only what your eye of practice can rest on. And in order to learn the nature of the myriad things in this world, you must know that although they may look round or square, the other features of oceans and mountains are infinite in variety. Whole worlds are there. It is that way not only around you, but also directly beneath your feet, or in a drop of water. So why also in the unconditioned? Well, That is because we forget, okay, the self, but we may forget other things too. We may see only the light aspect and the emptiness. And yet, there is also form. So that is what he warns for. We may see emptiness, but there is also form. And when we have dropped clinging to selfish views, then we can feel one and identify with all things. So that is when we are no longer lonely. We may be alone, but not lonely. We are able to see the heart of beings and see their moods and their suffering and their Buddha nature. So you wouldn't say that is a dust, like one of the six dusts, defilement, because really you have shed the selfish eye, the eye that sees. And things are not perceived as other, as separate. So it is not only around ourselves, but also right here and in a single drop of water. In order to appreciate the 10,000 dharmas, which means the whole world, the whole universe, we should know that although they may look round or square, the other qualities are infinite in variety. And furthermore, other universes lie in all quarters. So realize that we human beings tend to limit ourselves. But by this faith that there is a whole variety and that there are infinite worlds, even the lives that you would call miserable. Could look very different. When you look in the depths of where you are, when you look deeply in a single drop of water, so look with the eye of faith.